days like this, when the world and the church celebrates your triumphal entry, where people praised your name, there was a few short days later, you rode into the city and you were crucified. You were crucified for us. You willingly rode into that city. You willingly went there to die for us. And so today we want to get our heads around that. And we want to be able to let you be God in our lives. Let you be God in our hearts, our spirit, and our minds, and every part about us. So God, just be with my words these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're visiting today, we're really glad you're here. And be sure and let us know that you were here. And connect with us, at least through a card, and let us know. There's a little card on the back table. I think Mandy will give you a card if you didn't get one. So we've talked about it as Palm Sunday, but we're not going to talk about Palm Sunday today. We're going to continue on with our series, The Fight in Your Head, The Fight in Your Mind. And I think it's very apropos to talk about that today because God wants us to have victory in our head, because that's where all victories start and end. Our heads are amazing places. One moment we can be all in on something, and the next minute we're like, this is horrible. I don't even know what I'm doing here. What in the world is going on? And you get these battles that go. And last week we talked about that there's a mental filter on which we look through things at life, and it's not always good. A mental filter is not good, because a mental filter often lets you look at things in a way that's not always the right way to look at it. And then we also talked about the need that God wants us to take our lives and to reframe them, to stand back and not just look at the muck. And once we stand back and we back up and we look at it, we see that God is doing other things in our life. It's not all bad. And as we approach Easter and as we come to this day, this has been, as far as my life of 63 years of being on this planet, the last couple years have been some of the weirdest. It's been some weird things. Every month, it's a new thing going on. You know, last year seemed like we were burning down cities. There was a widespread pandemic. There was all kinds of things going on, and there was always something to be concerned about. There was always something that was robbing our peace. There was always something that was keeping us from being who God wants us to be, because God wants us to have peace. And that's what I came to say to you today, that God wants you to live in peace. He wants you to live in peace in your head. Of course, he wants us to live in peace with all people around us, but he wants us to live in peace in our head. But many of us here today, we have trouble sleeping. Can't go to sleep. Many of us here today, we're racked with worry. We're racked with anxiety and fear. I've been reading some books lately, and besides the Bible, and of course the Bible is the best book to read, but I'm trying to figure out the mind. I'm trying to figure out what it is, and I've read three books in the last probably 3 months. One is by a lady called Judith Light, and she's very nerdy, and some of the nerdiness is going to come out in me. I have no nerdiness in me. This is something that Bob should probably be preaching. Not that he's a nerd, but Bob is so cerebral. And just, it's all about up here, and I'm just your regular Joe, you know. But I'm going to talk a little nerdy today, so excuse me for doing some of that. But it's going to come out in the way that we're going to talk about the mind, because I want to understand why our mind is the way it is. And I believe that, as I've said to you the last two or three weeks, that the Bible and science go together. I believe that Bible and counseling go together. I believe that there's so much in the brain that God created in us that makes a difference and shows us why we go off on these bunny trails, literally, since it's Easter. We go off on these little trails and we go, where did I go there? Why did I go there? Why am I even there? So I want to read on the screen today our first scripture, and then I'm going to get right into our lesson. So it's Philippians 4, 6, and 9. It says this: "Do not be anxious, Jeff, or you, about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all what? Oh, wait a minute. And the peace of God, who? His peace, not mine, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, Jeff, brothers and sisters, anybody watching online, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's either a lie or that's the truth. The God of peace will be with you. Why are you so worried? Why are you so stressed? Why are you so anxious? Let's talk about that today. Got to tell you a story, and it's a little long for Jeff's story because usually I don't go two stories, but the last couple weeks at night, God has been kind of bringing old memories to me, and so these memories come out. Last week I told you about my wrestling story, and some of you resonated with that, and the rest of you fell asleep, but I want to tell you about my basketball story, and so the story goes like this. It was 1970, and I grew up in a little town called Blooming Grove where the camp is. If you know where Camp Brookville is, it's very close to a little town called Blooming Grove. And Blooming Grove had a six-room schoolhouse. Literally, there were six grades, and there was 20 people in each grade. Very, very small. Redneck, wonderful Christian people. Every one of us. And we lived in this little burg called Blooming Grove, a little bubble. The 70s were tumultuous, and I was a kid, and I really wasn't too aware of it because I was in my little bubble in Blooming Grove. And our coach, his name was, he also was our principal, took us to a little town south or north of us called Connersville. Some of you have heard of Connersville, kind of now the meth capital of the world, but at least Indiana. And he took us to this town to play basketball during the off season, which we didn't even have a gym in that school. So we practiced outside. Even in the winter, we practiced outside. This is back, you know, a long time ago. And so we showed up in Connersville, and Connersville was a different place. It was different even back then. It was different because there was people that didn't look like me there. There was people that were different color. There was people that just weren't exactly like me. And I'd seen those kinds of people before, but I'd never been up close. And so I began to play basketball and shoot with them, and I really enjoyed those guys. I enjoyed playing with them. Even though I wasn't anywhere as good as they were, I was tall. I was really tall, and so I had that going for me. And I could rebound. I could jump, and I could once in a while throw up a hook, and that's about the extent of my basketball skills. And so my whole purpose was I had a growth spurt, and everybody else didn't. So I was valued on my team. And so we go to this place, the YMCA. It had a swimming pool. I never even knew there was such thing as an indoor swimming pool. And we had an outdoor pool, and I'm like, whoa, look. And so it's just all whole new experience for me. And I get there, and the season goes, and first game is, you know, we win, and we got a good team, bunch of old rednecks, as I said, and we know how to play basketball. That's all we do, shoot the hoop all day long, like this, not like this. So as I'm finding my way through this league and trying to figure it out and figure my place in this world and in this league, I started noticing that those fellows that were different from me were getting treated different from me. And people were saying mean things to them. And especially, not so much on the court, but in the locker rooms, around the outside. And it bothered me. And I didn't have any kind of good feeling about it. I didn't understand it. These are just people, and why are they getting treated weird? And it just didn't make sense. None of it added up to me. So I went to my coach, and I said, Coach, this is going on. This is week two or three. And then coach said, you know, just stay away from it, and it'll go away. And I'm like, okay. Didn't go away. So I went to my dad a week or two later and said, Dad, my dad never said anything about nothing. He was the most quiet man in the world. And he looked at me, and I told him the whole scenario, and I saw guys getting beat up, and I saw kids getting, you know, it wasn't good. And I told him the whole thing. And my dad looked at me, and I think he pulled a saying out of the air that was said a lot back in the 70s, because there was one saying that all of you know, and it's "Make love, not war." Remember that? You remember that one? Okay. But he said this: peace is always worth fighting for, Jeff. Peace is always worth fighting for. And I'm like, wow, my dad I never knew him to have a crossword with anyone in his life. But he just told his 12-year-old son, peace is worth fighting for. He said, you never go find a fight, but if a fight comes to you, you do what you need to do. Okay, I got it. So the next week, there was a snowstorm. It was the last of January, and I pull up in the YMCA. My dad lets me off, and he takes off, goes and does whatever my dad was doing on Saturday morning for 2 hours while I'm playing basketball. I go down, and my team's already on the floor. I'm late. There's 6 inches of snow on the ground. We didn't cancel things. We weren't snowflakes like they are today, you know, where you just we just plowed through it, you know. We get there, and I go down in the room, and here's this little guy, my friend, that I'd been shooting basketball. I did happen to know his name. His name is Bob. And he was getting beat up by two guys. And I said, you guys need to stop. And I was pretty loud about it, because I never got in a fight up to that point, because I was a taunt. You know, I'm the big guy, and you didn't mess with the big guy. Well, they didn't stop, and they came over, and they came at me. By the way, I want to be sure I don't condone fighting, but this one particular time, it was very important. It was very important because this friend, this guy that I really liked, I kind of took care of business with those two guys. And I went back out on the court, and I told my coach, I said, we're getting ready to play, and these two guys were going to be on the other team. And I said, Coach, they were making fun of this, my friend Bob. And he said, okay. He said, well, did you get in a fight? Yeah, got in a fight. What happened? Well, I don't think they're going to be coming to the game. Why not? Well, they're in their lockers. I literally picked them both up, put them in their locker, shut the door, and told Bobby to get out. Of course, they came out. My coach sent somebody down. They were bawling. Oh, you guys are being... It was not good. I had to sit out. I sat out a game. They sat out a game. But you know what? From that time on, there was always peace. There was peace. Those two boys never gave... Now, I'm not saying there wasn't other people that didn't do it. But with those two boys, there was peace. There was always peace. And I want to say... That was a physical fight. That was a physical fight. But the spiritual fight that we're going on with today, it's worth you fighting for peace in your head. And here's a little addendum to that story. And God kind of brought this to my head last night. I never even thought about it. I wasn't even going to tell you about this. But Bob Martin, a couple of weeks later, I went to church 7 blocks up the street from the YMCA. Bob Martin said, I'd like to come to your church. My mom and dad had moved from Brookville and the church where we were going, and we were going to Connersville. And Bob came with me to church. The only person that looked like him in an all-white church, 250, 300 white people, and Bob Martin sitting there. And all of a sudden, Bob started bringing his family. Bob started bringing his friends. And the really cool thing that happened, not because of me, I don't take any credit on this, it's God, but because I wasn't always a godly person, don't get me wrong, back then especially. But in 1972, the Spartans, Connersville Spartans, won the state basketball championship. And you know who was in our church? The whole starting five, and they were all black. And Mr. Basketball all went to our church. I thought that was really cool that happened because of, you know, just an incident where somebody stood up and said, no more. And I think you can do that too. I think you have to stand up. You have to stand up and fight. The Bible talks about this time and time again. And our job as fighting is to demolish every argument that stands against the peace that's in our mind. That's our fight. And the Bible never tells us to flail and to take our fist and to punch people. The Bible tells us to stand. It says stand. Stand on what? On the Word of God. And demolish those things that are around you that that mess up our word, our world. And so I tell you that story because I want to talk about the spiritual and the battle that goes on in the head that just takes peace, and there is no peace for us. And we're living in times where it's so easy to get off of the peace train. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday a little bit more, so come back for that. I want you to remember some things that I've said the last couple of weeks. Number one is this: your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Think about that. Whatever you're thinking about, that's where your life is going towards. So if you're thinking towards anxiety, if you're thinking towards stress, that's where your life is headed. If you're thinking towards something else, a peace, then your life moves in that direction too. And it's some really good news today for us who are in Christ, because we don't have to be so worried. We don't have to be so anxious as we are. So let's get to the technical part of our lesson today, and then I'll blow through that. So stick with me for just a minute. As I've gone through books, I've looked at YouTube videos. Here's my understanding of your brain. Your brain has a little almond-shaped thing in the back of your head called an amygdala. Amygdala, I'm probably mispronouncing that. I've said it 1,000 times, but it's in the back of your head, and that its purpose that is this: if you ever find yourself in a moment where you feel like you need to fight or you've got to run, your amygdala screams out and says, "You need to get out of here now. You need to get out of here now." In the front of your head, there's this thing called the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex is right up here. And it's right up here, and it does everything that comes through your brain, and it filters it, and it goes, "No, wait a minute. That's probably okay." For instance, you wake up and you hear a noise. "Oh no, there's someone breaking in the house." And the prefrontal cortex says, no, it's probably just the wind. And so you don't freak out. And the problem is, a lot of us today, we're overloading the amygdala. It's getting overloaded because this flight thing is, "What about Ukraine? What about this? What about gas? What about..." And it just continues on, and it just goes, and it goes, and it goes. And we're skipping right through the prefrontal cortex. You see, the amygdala is this thing that is not logical at all. The prefrontal cortex is very logical. "Calm down, honey. It's all right. It's what your brain says to yourself." God gave us this portion, both portions of those brain, for your protection. Both of them there for your protection. So you can think logically, and you can say, "I'm going to die." It's okay to have those thoughts. But then you have to calm yourself, and you have to, that's why the Bible says what? Take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. Because if you don't, you live by your amygdala. And if you live by your amygdala, you're always at DEFCON 5. And so many of us are living in the DEFCON 5 world. I don't know what the problem with the amygdala is, that you always respond according to your mental filter that we talked about last week. Somebody's house burnt down. You get these irrational thoughts, and they come, and you go, "What happened?" And it's gonna, and there's all these things just go on in your mind. I don't know about your life, but some of you, it could be something like somebody hurt you, some really big trauma, or that a certain person hurt you, or that somebody took advantage of you, or your parents didn't do this or didn't do that, or they treated you in this way or that way, and it triggers it, and suddenly you are completely overwhelmed by this runaway mind, this mind that just goes, "Wow, what is going on in my head?" That's why Paul said from a Roman prison, he said this, I want to read it again, Philippians 4, "Don't be anxious about anything." Ouch. Could be the job interview. Could be your health situation. Decision about your future. Financial stuff going on. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every single situation, on Palm Sunday, church, I want you to know, if it goes through your mind, God cares. God cares about you so much. If it comes into your mind, He cares about what it is that frightens you. He cares more than you can imagine. He cares that our minds are peaceful. He cares that you're not always living in the portion of your life. In every situation, let me say it again. In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, you present your request to God. And when you give your burdens to God, Scripture says, what happens? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But I don't get it. It's right. It's not yours to get. How does He do it? I don't know. He just does it. Will guard your hearts and your mind. He will fight for you. He will guard your mind. You don't need to take care of that portion. Family, peace is worth fighting for. And it's worth fighting for in your mind. Fighting thoughts of evil that come against us minute by minute, day by day. Every morning we wake up and it's something new. We're mad at the government. We're mad at this government and that official and this person. And we're mad at our neighbor. And we're mad at our boss. And we're mad at our employee. And it just goes from bad to worse. That's why prayer is so important. That's why we're trying to really get you to press into God in your prayer life. Hebrews says this in 4:16. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. We come with prayer boldly, with confidence. Why? It says to find help in our time of need. You will not find it in a bottle of wine. You will not find it in a pill. You will need more pills. You will need more wine. You will need more sex. You'll need whatever it is. You will need more of it. It just isn't enough. It wasn't designed to give you peace. Only the manufacturer was meant to give you peace. Only the manufacturer. So why do we worry? Why do we find ourselves so stinking anxious? Especially for followers of Jesus. I get why the world is a mess. I understand why the world is falling apart in a handbag. I get it. But I want to know why the church is. I want you to think about that today. Why are we so racked? Why do we worry? Why do we find ourselves in these spaces that we find our head? Well, science would tell you, and psychology tells you, that you've been hijacked, that your amygdala has been hijacked, and your prefrontal cortex is not doing what it's supposed to do. So that's when the Bible says, take captive every thought. And you run it through the prefrontal cortex and say, my God will take care of this. My God is bigger than what is going on around me. Worry is this. It's the sin of distrusting the promise and the power of God. And I don't know what else to say it this morning. If you worry, you're distrusting God to do what He said He was going to do. Worry is saying, God, I can do better. You're full of it, God. I just get away. No, you're not saying that, but that's what you're doing. Just back up. Back up. I got this. I'll take it for now until I can't, until I'm overwhelmed, until I'm so heavy, full of burdens, and I'm weighted down, and I'm falling. I don't know what to do, and it's just really bad. And then finally, I guess I should pray now. So instead of letting our sinful nature control our mind, we have to choose to let the Spirit direct your thinking. Because your thinking is always thinking. It's always thinking. Every time you have an idea, unless it's of the Lord, it's a bad idea. It really is. Most of you could attest to that fact. You're living out some bad ideas that have happened in your you got the $40,000 truck payment that you went out and bought. You got the, you know, $300,000 house that you're having a hard time praying for. But it's God's will that we get this house. He gave it to us. Look, we got a loan. I think we all got a loan. I'm not sure that was God. Maybe it was. Romans says this in 8:5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Clear cut. Clear cut. Then it goes on in verse 6 and it says this. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life, and that word, peace, peace, leads to life and to peace. So in the Spirit, we're going to let our prefrontal cortex grab that Amandela by the tail and say, you quit being irrational. My God has got this. Sometimes you have to speak to it. And today I'm going to choose to give this anxiety and this fear to God. I'm going to choose to give it to Him. And so you choose. And here's the example. So you give it to Him. You've been there. I've been there. Here it is. You wait. And you wait. And nothing happens. And you get freaked out. And you take it back from God. And you say, God, I don't really trust you with that. See, whenever we worry, that's essentially what we're doing. We're taking back something that was never meant to be ours. That was meant to be His and His problem. It was meant for Him to take care of it, and you're trying to take care of it, and your little pea-picking, not very much of a brain is not doing so much of a good job. I'm going to pray about this, God, but I don't see you working quick enough, so I need it back. The reason is your God's too small. Your God's too small. And your worries are too big. Somebody in here today needs a bigger God. Somebody in here needs a little smaller worry. So I want to send you home with these three thoughts today on this Palm Sunday, on this day that the world celebrates, that the church celebrates, Jesus riding in to that city triumphantly. Here's what you, the church, need to know about your brain, the fight in your head to get peace that is worth fighting for. Number one, you need to do the things that you can do. Let me explain that. If you've got a test coming up in here and you're a kid, you need to study. Don't just say, well, God, I need you to take care of this test. You laugh. But how many of you want a better body? You go, God, I need to lose some LBs. You got to do something about it. Something less has got to go in here and something more has got to happen here. That's it. There's not any magic pills. Some of you have tried taking them and they don't work too good. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. Do what you can do. That's my word to the church today. Do what you can do about the things that you can do something about. You can't do a flipping thing about Ukraine except pray. And pray is the most you can do. I hate it when people say, well, I guess it's time to pray. No, it was time to pray a long time ago. It was time to pray a long, long, long time ago. But most of us, we just pray when our rear end's getting ready to go in the grinder. Oh my, God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this mess that I got myself into. The second thing I want to send you home with today is this. You give God what only He can do, or what you can't do. Which what you can't do is about this much. You can do the peripheral stuff. But God, you got to give to God and say, God, I want you to do what you can do. Because when God does what God can do, Abby today, what a great testimony. Somebody who is going through a hard time. She's going through some hard times. And she chooses to touch other people. She chooses to give a gift to other people and to make their day. She could be back there wallowing in all of her problems. She's got a lot. But you know what she did? She put feet on her faith. And she did what she did. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you for reminding us. Thanks, Abby. Gonna do what God can't do. And finally, I'm gonna trust God no matter what. I'm gonna trust God no matter what, because of who He is, because of His character. He has never let us down. You say, oh yeah, He did. No, He never lets us down. There's over 10,000 promises in the Bible, and all of them have come to, I told my life group this the other night, there's over 10,000 promises in the Bible, and all of them have come true except the ones about where He said, I'm coming back. That's pretty cool. 10,000. I can't tell you how many promises I've made and not gone through with. Probably that many. I'll do this. I'll be there. I count on me. And I'm not. What I want you to do for a moment is I want you to imagine a heart of peace. I want you to imagine a life with unending joy. I want you to imagine that no matter how bad and big the tornado that is outside going around you, you can say, my God is bigger than that tornado. My God is bigger than that thing that's going on around me. Family, your spiritual weapons have power. The power that you have is the same power that Jesus has. You have it in you. You are able to do those same things, to be able to say no to sin, to be able to say no to fear and anxiety. By the power and the authority of God, we are to demolish. We are to demolish every argument that comes against us. We are to renew our minds. We're not interpreting God through our circumstances, and that's where we're living today. We interpret God because of the things that are going on. There's bad going on in my life. Therefore, where is God? Right where He's always been. In your heart, right there waiting for you. This is bad. Remember the smoke last week I put in the frame? This is bad. Look at that smoke. Oh, it's that terrible, terrible smoke. You got to back up a little bit. You got to see. Look what God's doing over here. Look what He's doing here. Look what He's doing here. Go through some of the Ukraine things and go through some of the church, how the church is standing up over there and how they're standing up for their faith. It's horrible. I get it. It's bad. But there's some good in the middle of the bad. It's not all bad. The world cannot give you peace, and the world cannot take it away. You ever thought about that? Somebody said that. That's not mine. But if you want to use it, quote it, use it. Use the Dickens today. Use it all week long. See, the world can't give you peace, and the world can't take it away. And when you try to take it away in a worldly way, it will never go away. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm laying down? I hope you are. It's the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that brings peace. The same peace that allowed Jesus to walk into that firing squad of such, to know that he was going to go be put on a cross. That same peace that he had to walk in to the valley of the shadow of death for you and for me is available to us today. So I want to ask you today to close your eyes for just a minute. Close your eyes for just a second. I want to ask you if there's something that's weighing on you, that's keeping you awake at night. It's always there. It's always a burden. I want you to think about that, whatever it is you're worrying about. And today, what I'd like you to do, I'm not going to look. I'm going to close my eyes, and I ask you to keep yours closed. I'd like you to raise one of your hands, and I'd like you to raise it up, and I'd like you just to put it up high. And I'd like you to symbolically just give it to God, just symbolically just let it go. And say, God, here, you take this. I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I can't rehearse this anymore. I can't go to sleep at night anymore. I need peace, God. And this peace is worth fighting for. Give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. I'm trusting you, God. I'm releasing this to you. We trust you, God. You are always faithful. God, give us the wisdom to do what we can do. There's nothing we can do. God, give us, you just do what you do. Help us to trust you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can put them down. I'm going to ask the band to come. Got some really good news for you today that can bring peace beyond any measure. God loves you. He loves you so much. If you walked in here today and you're lonely, and you walked in here today and you're surrounded by people all day long and you're just feeling like nobody cares, I want you to know that God does. If you walked in here today and you go, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for God. You're right. You're right. None of us are. None of us are. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's commands. And the Bible says that separates us from God. And when we're separated from God, there's no peace. Mandy, you can get the lights. There's no peace. And when there's no peace, it's bad. It's bad. Jesus never sinned. He was the perfect sacrifice. He died in our place. He died for you and he died for me. He took our sins to the cross. That's the good news of Easter. You don't have to live with him anymore. You don't have to live with the sin of fear. You don't have to live with the sin of doubt. You don't have to live with the sin of anxiousness and worry. Because your God is bigger than anything you're going through. But the devil has made us think that look at me, look at my big old bad problems. And the worse and the more we look at those problems, the worse it begets. The worse it gets. Oh my gosh, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. And we're living in that church. And God calls us not to. So today, if you're here and you've been doing some of these things, honestly, you need to repent. And repent means just very simply to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't understand God. I'm sorry that I keep taking it back. And today I want to just fully give this one area to you. I know you can't do every area today. I know some of you walk in here with 20 worries. Start with one. Repent. Repent. And if you're here today and you've never given Jesus your life, today would be a day to start that process. Come up in the front. Go to the back. There's some people in the back that'd be glad to pray with you. After the service is over, meet us over here in the prayer room. We call it our war room. Next Sunday, we're going to have some baptisms, some water baptisms. If you're here and you've never been baptized, maybe you've given your life to Jesus and you said, "Here, God, here's my life." But maybe you haven't been fully obedient. God may be calling you to be immersed. It doesn't save you. Just as a reminder of who you belong to. Boy, don't you need that every day. How many times my wedding ring has gotten me out of trouble in my life in 43 years being married. Every time I look at that thing, it reminds me of who I love more than anything else. My baptism reminds me of that too. The one who paid it all. Wow. Let's pray. Jesus, as the band continues to play, would you just do a work in this room with the people in line at home? God, would you move? Would you move amongst us? Would you stir our hearts? Would you stir our spirits? We give you permission today. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. guys. Amygdala. Not what I was saying. Amygdala. Say that with me. Amygdala. Right? Okay. Thank you. I said it 1,000 times yesterday. I'm a big redneck. Sorry. Here I am. We're so glad you've been here today. There's several things we want to do to close out before we go. First of all, I want to explain this week to you. For those of you that might not know, we're trying to start a new tradition. We've never done a Good Friday service here before, and we're going to try it this Friday, 7 o'clock, right in this room. Very short, very simple. Going to have some communion, prayer. We're going to do some videos, just a short talk, and send you home. And so if you're around on Friday and you would like to start the Easter weekend, it's a somber, more of a somber kind of a service because it's Friday, but remember, Sunday's coming. And that's always the deal of Good Friday. So if you'd like a little extra way to do that, please show up this Friday, 7 o'clock. Be done probably about 7:45. And so we encourage you to be here for that. Sunday, big day. We're going to start at 8:45 having breakfast back there. And the reason we're starting a little early, we want you to come and just fellowship. We got a bunch of seats around. Come get to know some people that you don't normally know. We're having biscuits and gravy, and Mitzi and her crew make some of the best biscuits and gravy on the planet. So that's here. It doesn't cost anything. We just want you to come and fellowship. Now that COVID is on its way around us again and gone, we're glad to just get together and start doing that and doing more fellowship. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that. 10 o'clock, we'll have our service. Then we're going to have some baptisms. If you would like to be baptized, please be sure and see me. Abby's going to tell you all this stuff, but I want you to hear it from me. And then lastly, we're going to have a big old Easter egg hunt. So if you could bring some Easter candy to the church by Saturday next week, candy and eggs, we would really use those. We put out several thousand eggs, and it's a cool thing right after church out back to watch the kids do that. So that'll take us through that day next week. Mike, would you come up here? Where's Mike? Nontel.
He's right here.
Yeah, Mike, would you just, can you just come right here? I forgot where he was. I didn't look. You want to come down? Sure. Yeah, come on down. A couple people want to come pray. Here's the story. Mike had knee surgery a couple years ago, and he's been limping for 2 years, ever since he had it. Went to a doctor, couldn't get the diagnosis, and it's just been a mess. And doctor after doctor said, I don't know. And he finally found a doctor that says, I know what it is, and I can fix it. And so we're excited about that because I believe he's going to be able to have a better quality of life here. So I'm very excited about that for him and for Beth. So let's just, I want a word of prayer. You guys come on in and just, let's just word it. You guys want to do that? And I'll close. Father God, we all agree as a church, as his family, as Mike's family, that you're going to heal him and you're going to use this doctor in a profound way. I pray that as he goes there to just take away the anxiousness, take away the worry, and let him know that he knows that he knows that you've gone before him, that you've got the right person, the right people in that room this coming week. We love you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We believe around here that when somebody has an issue, we want to pray for you. We want to lift that up before the Lord. There's also some cards in the back there. I think Mandy has some too. They're prayer cards. And if you'd like to give us a prayer request, just fill them out. And there's a wooden box back there. And put those in a box. And somebody will pray for them this week and pray for you this week. Let's do Abby now. And thank you so much for being here.